Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We head out to the hotline right now to get all the latest on the Tyreek Hill situation. And we do so with James Palmer of the NFL Network. And James, of course, was one of the first reporters to break the news on Friday that Tyreek Hill wouldn't get suspended. James, always great to talk to you. When you had the news that Tyreek Hill would face zero discipline from the National Football League, were you surprised by that decision that the NFL did make?
Actually, I wasn't. You know, I had started hearing days, maybe a week to 2 weeks in advance, that it was starting to become that it was going to be a favorable ruling for Tyreek Hill's camp and the Chiefs. And then I started hearing maybe two games, and maybe it was none. And then in the days leading into it, I started hearing that it was a pretty good chance it wasn't going to be a fine. It wasn't going to be any sort of suspension in terms of games. So when the news officially came down from the league, I kind of knew 100% the night before that it was going to be no fine, no games. And that was what everything was kind of leading to. And a lot of it kind of started with, you know, the magnitude of the facts, I believe, from what I'm told, Tyreek Hill was able to present. And yeah, we started getting a sense that it was kind of going in his favor for a little bit. So it might have been a shock to a lot of people in the general population. But those that have been following it really, really closely, I know a couple of people that were, it wasn't that shocking that it came down the way it was.
When you listen to the audio and you hear a few things, one, Crystal Espinal say that her son said daddy did it. Two, you hear Tyreek Hill say to Crystal Espinal that you should be terrified of me too and calls her the B word. And then it's also cringeworthy how the couple together accuses one another about using a belt when they hit their son. It makes me wonder, when Tyreek Hill spoke to the NFL, was he that convincing, James, or was it simply that the NFL didn't feel as if they had enough evidence to discipline him here?
Well, I don't know how much, you know, in percentages or what weighed the most, but I do know that when he went and met with the league in Kansas City on June 26th, I think it was, for about 8 hours, he was able to present quite a bit of evidence to them that he had been waiting to show in terms of text messages and other forms of evidence that he could show the league the type of situation that has been going on and to kind of prove where he stood and where he stood in all of this. In terms of, lacking some things, you know, that's the way the case was with, we're not entirely sure what happened to the son, but the law officials in Kansas City could not determine who was actually, you know, at fault in causing that crime or committing that crime against their child. So there is a lack there. I'm not sure which portion played the largest part. But if you speak to the league, it sounds like everything that was put together, it was easy to come to the conclusion that they did.
There is one thing if he had a compelling argument, and clearly there is doubt on how the son sustained a broken arm. But based off the Jimmy Smith situation from a year ago, I thought the "you should be terrified of me too" line from Tyreek on its own would have resulted in some sort of punitive action from the NFL. From your understanding, why wasn't that line enough to suspend him?
Yeah, you know, the interesting part of it is that was a snippet, and we all kind of know that. That was the snippet, you remember, that was released. I think it was draft day. And then that's a part of a full, I think, almost 11.5-minute clip. When the league listened to the entire clip and in the full context of that clip, and this is kind of more the league speaking, not me, and all of the information that they gathered, that it didn't rise to the level warning discipline under their personal conduct policy. So when they put everything in the entire 11 minutes, listening to that in duration, and then everything else that they did have, they didn't believe that specific threat that Tyreek Hill made to Crystal was warrant to really give him any sort of punishment under the personal conduct policy.
And I still have a hard time understanding that, because like I said, I could understand not suspending him for the actual breaking of the son's arm because it's unclear who did it and it could have been an accident. But the "you should be terrified of me too" line from Tyreek Hill with his past and what happened in 2014, even though he changed his tune in the full 11-minute audio from that night back in 2014 and how he recalls it now, it still comes off to me as him showing his true colors based off that one line that "you should be terrified of me too" to Cristal Espinal. And it's a bad look. And I was surprised, James, the league didn't give him a few games just for that line.
Yeah, it was that part. You know, the broken arm, I mean, it really, I mean, if you have to remember, pretty quickly after that, he was allegedly accused of it. Pretty quickly, law enforcement was not going to pursue any sort of charges against him with his son's arm. So I don't think, in my opinion, from the information I have, that was an aspect of what they were really, really looking at in terms of how they were going to go about giving him any sort of suspension on the personal conduct policy. But everybody was thinking, all right, well, this is a threat. This is, you know, that he made. And there is, you know, we've seen the results, right, Zach, of what video evidence can do. And this was, you know, for certain players like Kareem Hunt or Ray Rice. And then this is actual audio evidence that's right there for everybody to hear. What are they going to do with that? And that's at least in the perception of it worthy of some sort of penalty or suspension. But I guess and maybe in time, everything that the league had seen in this case will come out, and maybe that will give us a little bit more clarity on why that exact specific threat that he made didn't warrant any sort of suspension. Maybe we'll have more information down the road that maybe we'll see why, okay, maybe that's why the league didn't do it. But right now, with everything we do know, I think the perception is that he was probably going to get something for that threat and ended up not.
James Palmer is my guest from the NFL Network. James, like you were saying, and I have the report here from WHB, that according to multiple sources close to the investigation, Hill and Espinal were cleared of any role in the broken bone injury almost immediately after the investigation began in March. But when the Overland Park police checked on the boy back later in March and they found bruises and welts on his body, both Hill and Espinal also in this report said to investigators that they spanked the 3-year-old with their hands and a belt, but prosecutors still couldn't determine for sure which parent or if both went too far. Why isn't just that admission on its own? And who knows if he said it to the league when they questioned him, but if that report is true, why wasn't that enough info for a suspension? Have you heard anything on that front?
Not really. I mean, I do know one of the biggest aspects of why the Chiefs stood behind Tyreek Hill for the duration of this and why things went pretty well for him is that he has been, from everyone that I've spoken with, really honest throughout all of this. So if you know, we do know that was everything you said is true. I would assume, as I've been told repeatedly, that Hill's been unbelievably honest about all of this, that he was honest about where he stood in you know, how they disciplined their child. Now, whether the league or whoever was, you know, speaking with him about it, whether they warranted that it was enough for a suspension or not, I'm not entirely clear or sure. But everything you did say was right. And is accurate. Whether the league thought that was something that they should punish him for, apparently they didn't believe so.
In the past, we've seen Roger Goodell, James, suspend players with not a ton of clear evidence. Do you think he's softening his stance a bit because of some of the criticism he has received for suspending big stars before with ambiguous evidence?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because it's funny, you know, I was thinking about this when I was talking to somebody else. I was in New England for a couple of weeks. It seemed like forever leading into the decision on Deflategate. I was in Oxnard the day before the ruling on Ezekiel Elliott came down. And when we were all talking to Jerry Jones and he was so optimistic about what was going to happen and Zeke ends up getting 6 games. And, you know, Brady got his, it was 4. So I don't know if he's softening, because I know that's not probably the stance the league or the word the league would want in how they're handling these. I hope and I would think that they would say that they're being more thorough in kind of what they're going through and how they're going through it. And I kind of feel like, you know, I know Tyreek Hill has said that he wants this story out. He really, really wants it out and he wants all of the information out. this could be, and I'm not saying it's fact, that it's an exception to what we've seen, to where this had circumstances in it that the league has seen and we're not all privy to, that this warranted no games and no fine. I know they handle each one as their own individual case, and they try not to use others, and they try to think of everything as an exact, really just one-of-a-kind case. How do we go about this? It seemed like in this case that was the ruling that they felt fit. I don't know if softening would be the term that they would really, I think, want moving forward in how they're going to handle the personal conduct policy.
Do you think this was a big risk by the NFL not to suspend him? Because, James, as you know, we've seen the NFL make rulings before, and then after they make those rulings, more damaging evidence and information does come available.
Yeah, and if more information does come out, things can change. And so this isn't, you know, just dead in the water, everything's closed, everything's sealed, everything's done, it's zero games, let's go on with our lives. If anything new does come out, things can change.
Was the NFL ever close to getting Cristal Espinal to talk to them?
Yeah, the extent that I heard that they were trying to talk to Cristal Espinal was that they reached out on more than one occasion. Past that, and I know they were never able to speak with her, past that, I don't know how close she ever came to actually speaking with the league, but the league did try clearly more than once to try to get her side. They spoke to Tyreek. I know that. Obviously, you and I have talked about that at length. They spoke to other family members, other people close to the situation. They tried to talk to as many people as they could. She would have obviously been an integral person to speak to during all of this, and after repeated attempts, never were able to. And if that's the case, then I mean, you can't just hold off your ruling, you know, as long as she won't speak to you. So they had to move forward in a sense, but they tried repeatedly. I don't know how close she ever came to actually speaking with the league.
Wrapping up with James Palmer from the NFL Network. James, you mentioned how, in your opinion, from people that you talked to, that Tyreek Hill was very forthcoming in this process. When it's time for Tyreek Hill at training camp to publicly speak to the media, do you think he will continue that transparency? And I know it's a tough question to answer, or do you think it will be more along the lines of him sticking by his statement and saying what the team said and what he said and what the league said really will speak for itself?
You know, he's never been really a guy, and I've interviewed him dozens of times. He's never really been a guy that's going to sit there and, you know, elaborate really at length about anything from even football. You know, he doesn't, you know, sit there and talk for really extended periods of time and how he wants to get his point across. So I don't think, you know, he's going to stand up there and really just tell everybody, well, this is exact, you know, and go on and on. I do think, you know, there's probably going to be times where he's going to say, I put the statement out. You can read my statement. You can know how I feel about my children and things like that. I do think the best way to handle it, and I like the Chiefs PR staff. I think they do a really good job. I think that they do have to, as an organization, know that he's going to have to answer some of these tough questions. And the best case scenario, in my opinion, would be not to dodge him and try to take him head on. Like I said, he wants this story out. If that's the case, and I do know that that's the case, he's going to be, I think, somewhat open. But again, when you speak about things like this, I know there's going to be some limitability of what he does and what he says. But I do think he's not going to brush off a lot of the questions. I do think that's probably going to be the case, to where he does in some form answer the majority of what he's asked.
In terms of his next contract, with him being a free agent at the end of the year, what's the vibe that you're getting right now on the latest with this contract situation?
Yeah, my understanding is that they're going to hold off on it a little bit. Remember, things were heating up in March towards a really, really big deal. And now they're going to hold off for a little bit. Could be some weeks, could be a month, could be more than 1 month. But they're going to give it some time to breathe about everything that has come down. And the Chiefs also, to my understanding, would also like to be able to get themselves in line to where this is probably going to be a contract that is unlike most contracts that they do, to where there's going to have to be some specific language in there, and they're going to have to make sure that they can protect themselves in some sense. And even if, you know, he was found for zero games and zero fines. So there can be that argument, but, you know, when you look at times where there might be questionable judgment, or you're surrounding yourself with questionable people, could you put yourself potentially in a situation that could be damning again? Then you have to be able to protect yourself as an organization in some sense. And then obviously on the other side, Tyreek's representation is going to say, because of you know, everything that Tyreek's been through, he's missed out on opportunities to do endorsements and make money elsewhere. We'd like some more guarantees. So I do think this is going to be a bit of a dance between the two sides, but I do think the contract talks are going to pick back up. They know how great of a player he is, and they do believe that they can get him a new contract, but I do think this is going to be one that's different than most contracts that are around, considering the circumstances that have all gone on since they've acquired Tyreek Hill to now.
Last one for James Palmer of the NFL Network. When we get to the Chiefs on the field for this year, when sizing up the AFC West, KC will be the popular pick, and then it will be the Chargers, as they're right there after making the playoffs a year ago, losing to New England in that divisional round. And who knows what to expect in the rest of that division from the Broncos and the Raiders. How do you break down this division right now, James?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think the Chiefs are the team to beat. I thought the Chargers would play a little bit better right at the end of the season, playoff time. But you got to say, with everything that the Chiefs bring to the table offensively, can they be better with Steve Spagnuolo and bringing in Frank Clark and bringing in Tyrann Mathieu? Well, you know, that's yet to be seen. I think the Chargers are really good, but I do think the Broncos and Raiders both got better. Now, are they playoff teams? I don't think so. But will they make things a little bit tougher on the Chargers and the Chiefs as the season goes on? Might have, when we look at the end of the year, Zach, like a different feel to both of those teams come playoff time, because their regular season was a little bit more difficult and a little bit more of a grind, with the Raiders and Broncos getting better. I do think that could have an impact. Again, I don't think either one of those teams are playoff teams. Chiefs are the team to beat, but the Chargers are still pretty darn good.
At James Palmer TV, give him a follow on Twitter. James, can't thank you enough. Appreciate your time as always.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.